Good morning once again. How could somebody say that we're not meant to be here? We just had a little conference on being little, and then this gospel passage for the Mass for today. I don't know. I love babies. Love babies. They're so cute, huh? And adorable. Isn't it awesome to hold a little baby in your arms? Especially when they're sleeping, granted. I love it so much because I love to look down at their little eyes and their little nose and their little ears. I love to hold with my finger their tiny, perfectly formed hands and their perfectly formed feet. It's so amazing to hold them and wonder what God has in store for them. Where will those feet take them? What will they do with those hands? What will they see with those eyes? Am I holding a future pope? Or one who will cure cancer? Maybe this one will have an incredible family and live 100 years. I visit fifth graders at St. Mary's School in David City every week during the school year. I love it. They're starting to think and ask questions, but they're still pretty sweet and innocent. They're full of faith. Faith in the world. They haven't been jaded by the world yet. They don't know anything about politics. And especially faith in Jesus Christ and in His church. In our gospel passage this morning, I'd like to think that it was a fifth grader, that Jesus places in front of Himself. Fifth graders that He's speaking of in this particular passage, holding as an example for the disciples to see. Maybe he or she was younger, but I doubt he or she was older than roughly a fifth grader. I also teach seniors in high school for a living. That's a whole other ballgame, a very sad and depressing ballgame. Most high school students are not great examples of what our Lord is talking about in the gospel. My definition of a high school student is a potentially lethal combination of ignorance and arrogance. I see a few head nods. No offense to the high school student we have here. If you're on a weekend silent retreat, you're probably not falling into the category of high school student I'm describing here. But perhaps some of you know what I'm talking about. Your typical child at this age is very ignorant, and yet they think they know all there is to know. They definitely know more than their parents, or their priest, or their 2,000-year-old church, for that matter. I love college students. Why? Because at least a sliver of real life, a sliver though it may be, but it's enough, has stepped up and popped them right in the mouth. They realize, often very quickly, just how ignorant they really are. They also tend to realize their parents actually did know a thing or two. Often as their ignorance begins to go away, and often it goes away quickly, their arrogance goes away as well. Interestingly though, after this initial stage of college age, as we grow older, we tend to move back toward that hardness of heart. Kind of similar to the ignorance and arrogance again. And maybe some of you know some of those older people. None of you are old here. I'm not talking about any of you. We're talking about much older than you, who are just mean and unhappy and uncompromising. Sometimes you run into people like that. It's quite a cycle. And I realize that these are generalizations, right? It's not everybody, but we tend to see this tendency, I guess, But I think there's some truth in these generalizations a little bit. Sometimes people think my definition of a high school student is a little harsh. But I have to admit that the reinforcement of that definition comes from looking back at my own self when I was that age. Ignorance and arrogance is exactly how I acted. As we look at being a disciple of Jesus Christ and entering into that profound relationship that is promised to those who are willing, it might be helpful to see where we might be on that cycle, or at least where we're tracking. St. John Paul II loved young people. Jason Everett titled his book, St. John Paul the Great, His Five Loves. And incidentally, I see many of you reading the books that I mentioned. This is going to be part of my littleness, because you're going to find out what a fraud I am as you read those books and say, wow, that sounds exactly like what he's saying. Because none of this is my original thought. Huh? It's all stolen from those who are so much greater than I. So it's just part of my littleness, I guess, my humility. So he made one of those loves in that book, the Holy Father's love of young people. John Paul dedicated so much of his pastoral ministry to young people from the very beginning. At the very beginning of his pontificate, he called out to young people specifically and said to them, "Do not be afraid." He loved them, and they loved him. He took students on camping trips early on in his priesthood. At nighttime, the teens would join hands with him around a campfire, praying and singing popular songs. These experiences were the seed of World Youth Days, which eventually bloomed into these massive outdoor festivals of prayer that inspired more than 10 million young souls. His love of the youth was manifested on virtually every papal pilgrimage. And I mentioned just a few of them now, just to give you an idea. He goes on and on in his chapter in the book, with example after example. But in 1979, I think, 78, 79, 79, I think, during his first visit to Poland as a pope, the young people gathered beneath his window and wouldn't let him speak. All through the night they sang and prayed in the street below his room, waiting for him to join in. And of course he did. He went to the window and joined in with them. And in the course of the dialogue, the youth cried out to him, "Take us with you." And he assured them, "I have taken you with me everywhere I go. Not a day goes by without my feeling your presence near." On another trip, he celebrated Mass with the young people in Ireland. Father Justin Regali, now Cardinal Justin Regali, he's retired Cardinal Archbishop of Philadelphia, accompanied him on the visit as a priest, and he recalled that the audience burst into applause no less than 42 times during the Pope's homily. Toward the end of his message, John Paul declared, "Young people of Ireland, I love you." Regali noted, "The applause, according to my watch, was between, believe it or not, between 12 and 13 minutes." This was the 41st applause of 42. Perhaps some of you recall his trip to Denver. I was just entering college at that time. I had very little use for the Pope at that time, but I remember hearing about the World Youth Day in Denver after it was over. As the Pope's helicopter descended upon Mile High Stadium, the teenagers erupted, and the roar of their voices was sufficient to create an atmospheric disturbance. One account, I don't think Jason Everett says this in his book, but one account that I read of this, the pilot actually claimed that he had landed in some of the most difficult places in the world, in the midst of war and strife and terror, some of the most difficult landings ever, and this was the most difficult because of all of the turbulence that was created by the voices of these thousands and thousands of young people. George Weigel reported, "The turbulence created by the youngsters' cheers, the pilot said later, was buffeting the aircraft so strongly that it was causing instability. As he landed, a rainbow arched across the sky as if on cue." Colonel James Stafford recalled, "Young people were pointing to it in wonder. The Pope wept openly before the thunderous ovations of the Universal Church." The Holy Father evoked similar responses from the youth in St. Louis 6 years later at the Kiel Center, with one journalist describing the sound of the teenagers as ear-splitting. As usual, they thundered their chants of John Paul II, we love you. He then exhorted the young people of America, remember, Christ is calling you. The church needs you. The Pope believes in you, and he expects great things of you. When you hear these words, you have to wonder where the Pope is coming from, don't you? What's he talking about? Can you imagine saying these words to the teenagers that you know? Hopefully some of them. The fifth graders and the college students, maybe, but the high school students. I'm sure some of the high school students you could. Could they be said to us? As I read this part of the book, I couldn't help but wonder, what was it that the Pope saw in young people that gave him such confidence? Reflecting on my own time working with college students, I came up with a couple of possibilities. First, young people are willing to convert. The older we get, in all of these examples, I'm going to include myself. I'm already old. The older we get, the more difficult it is for us to change, isn't it? If you can inspire young people, give them good reason, and encourage them, they will change. There is so much hope in the young because there is still so much potential in the young. Those same dreams we have for them when we hold them in our arms can still be there even well into their teenage years if they just hear the right word to move them toward God or to move them back to God. Second, young people are willing to accept challenges. They want to be challenged. There's so much less fear in many ways in young people. How many times have you watched a young child, you know, 2 or 3 years old, and my goodness, you know, climbing on things, cliffs, heights, nothing fazes them. You know, sometimes the younger they are, the less fear they have, until you get down to the age where they think the boogeyman is under the bed. Then there's fear, right? John Paul II always challenged young people. You see this. Jason Everett talks about it in his book, but you see it everywhere. If you look at what our Holy Father would say when he would meet with these young people, he always challenged them. He was uncompromising, never watering down the truths of the church, never watering down her teachings. And the young people love it. It's what they wanted. And I think oftentimes as we get older, we get tired and we just want it easier. Thirdly, the Pope knew their passion. Surely this is what he saw on all those pilgrimages in World Youth Days. Young people are so full of zeal and energy. They can be so passionate. Have you seen this in young people? If you can get them going off the couch, they will really, really go. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, we must be like a little child in the arms of our Lord. We need to be full of faith. As we talked about earlier this morning, we need a childlike dependency on God. We can be little in His arms. But also we must find some element in ourselves of what St. John Paul II saw in the young people of the world. We can be so much more open to this relationship the Lord wants for us, this discipleship, this placing of Jesus Christ at the very center of our lives, if we're willing to convert, if we're willing to change, and if we're willing to accept new challenges in our life. Not long ago, I was having a conversation with my sister, I think it was my sister and someone else, and they were observing that she just celebrated a class reunion, you know. And they were observing that when people got to about my age, they stopped going to class reunions and things like that. Like their participation in class reunions and things like that tended to kind of really drop off. And as we were talking, I kind of formed a hypothesis. I have no idea if I'm, you know, this is not scientific. But You know, and just listening to them talk, when you're young, in your teens and 20s, there's always hope for the future, right? At that age, they feel like they still have their whole life in front of them. Even if things aren't going well at the moment, they can always talk about what they plan to do, you know? When people start getting to my age, late 30s and into their 40s, they start thinking that where they're at in life is where they're at in life. There's not as much hope. And there's often not a lot to smile about as they realize they haven't accomplished nearly what they hoped they would. It doesn't have to be this way, though. It doesn't matter how old we are. You're never too old to change. You're never too old to experience conversion. You just have to choose it. Accept challenges in your life. Don't be content with where you are, especially spiritually, in this relationship with our Lord. We have to live every moment of our life to the fullest. I can't remember if it was at Cathedral. I think it was when I was at Cathedral. There was a man in his 80s who was coming to a Bible class to learn more about his Catholic faith. Wherever it was, I will never forget that. That is awesome. We can live with the passion that the Holy Father saw. We just have to determine to do it. Maybe not quite to the same extent as we get older. But we can live with passion and purpose. I'm convinced it's a matter of choice. We either choose to go on quietly to our death, or we choose to pursue something great continuously until our time is up. Let the children come to me and do not prevent them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these.